Welcome to The Daily Degenerate, the ultimate sports and entertainment podcast for your busy life. My name is Cohen Hughes, co-host and producer, and I'm joined by Los Angeles' very own Maddie Goldberg. We appreciate you listening and hope you enjoy this episode.
Podcast. I'm Maddie Goldberg in freezing LA, joined by the one and only. If I don't say it with conviction, he gets really mad, but I'll let him take over. The one and only, the legend down in Smyrna, Georgia. Give it up to Big Red.
Big Red. I like that. Actually, no, I don't. I hate it. Ladies and gentlemen, that glorious introduction was brought to you in part by Maddie Goldberg Incorporated. My name's Cohen Hughes, if you didn't already know. And if you didn't already know, I am the Michael Rappaport of the South. I did. I kind of looked up during the Ric Flair 30 for 30. I am the Michael Rappaport of the South. I am the professional devil's advocate. I am Podcast Poppy. And I am the Johnny Sins of Maddie Goldberg's basement.
I mean, how many times have you watched the Ric Flair? I've watched it like seven times.
Watched. This is like my third or fourth watch. I'm just kind of like looking up at it, just kind of looking at his old cryptic ass talk for a second.
Drinking 30 beers a day, dude, jacking off 10 times a day.
That and filming the most coked out looking wrestling promos for, I'm going to get Jesse the Snake Ventura, and I'm going to crush him between my fingertips. You know, he's going crazy.
Yeah, he does do it. Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Yeah, absolutely.
More of a, you know, I grew up on the East Coast, so I'm a Yankee. But he did a little time in the WWF or the WWE. He was great. He had great feud with Hogan and Macho Man. He stole Elizabeth.
This isn't our question for the day, but who was your favorite wrestler?
Of all time, I mean, I got to be honest, it's kind of lame, but, I'm a many generations, so I go back to the first WrestleMania. I remember that. There was a hotline back then that you would call for the matches. I must have been 9 years old. It was like 1985 or something. And I called like 30 times that night. It was like 90s or dollar every time you called.
Oh, your parents were pissed, dude.
Oh, yeah. So I was pissed because my tag team lost. Mike Rotundo and Barry Windham. They were like these American, like the American whatever, and they lost to Sheik and Nikolai Volkov. And I didn't believe it, and I kept calling to make sure that really happened. I was stunned. So I kept calling. But then throughout all the time, I loved Stone Cold.
Yeah,
I loved his promos. I loved the whole thing with him and Vince. Were like they were amazing together.
The beers were classic though. Cracking the beers open like two at a time and just pouring them over himself.
I mean, Vince learned how to be. He was like Donald Trump before Donald Trump. Like he would. It was like he was Donald Trump walking into the Women's March when he would walk into the ring, and he would go, "You're fired." That was amazing. And when Vince would, or Steve Austin would do something to him and be like, "Our Steve Austin just kicked your ass." So I liked Austin. I thought he was great. It's sad that he hurt his neck because we never got to see, like, he became more of a persona. Mm-hmm. And I got really into ECW. And ECW, I loved Sandman and Rob Van Dam and guys like that.
Mm-hmm. Van Dam was awesome.
Yeah. RVD, baby, 420.
Yep.
So I stopped really watching wrestling. I haven't watched in years. But I would say overall, I think Steve Austin had the best character I've ever seen. It was just funny. It was out of control. The music was perfect. The whole thing with him. You need a good bad guy to, you know, you need like the peanut butter and the jelly.
Yeah,
and him and Vince together, like, they'll go down in history as like the stuff they did together was incredible. Because like every man who hated their fucking job, like Vince represented their boss, and vicariously Steve Austin fucking stunned them and poured beer on them and told them to go to fucking hell.
Yeah, that was every guy's fantasy about doing that to his fucking boss.
Exactly. So like the other thing too is like when he got him to wear like the suit and everybody's like, did Steve Austin sell out? And then he like rips it off and like beats the shit out of it. Like you knew that was going to happen, but it was still funny.
Yeah. I was about a generation and a half past that. I grew up with the guys like Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle.
You're from Georgia.
Yeah, I'm from Georgia, which my favorite wrestler of Inc. is Chris Benoit.
Yeah, that's so controversial.
Yeah, it is. But, dude, the flying headbutt thing that he did, that was so deadly. He would fly off the top ropes and just headbutt you while you were on the mat. That's just
gnarly. Like a guy like, who's your favorite musician? You're like, well, you know, I know R. Kelly's in trouble, but R. Kelly's my favorite
I know he
artist.
Pissed on that teenage girl, but his song's a hit.
Yeah, I can believe I can fly. Well, that just motivated me to do great things.
Yeah.
So I love Flair, too. Flair was amazing.
Yeah, Flair's awesome.
I was a very big ECW fan. I got to go a few times during the heyday when there was no security, and that was incredible. Because it was like people were throwing chairs in the ring.
Yeah,
you
throw
insanity.
Popcorn and beer and sodas at the people in the rink and shit. Yeah. Hell yeah. Dump sodas on Rob Van Dam as he gets thrown into the crowd, you know?
Oh, it's insane. It was the craziest shit I've ever seen. And then I went like 2 years later and it got a lot bigger and it was like security guards. It wasn't the same. The atmosphere was shitty.
One last tidbit about the WWE, and this kind of goes along with what you were saying, is I didn't realize this. Maybe I've said this before on this podcast. I'm not quite sure. But I didn't realize that the WWE was still doing so good financially. Apparently, they have a shark of a TV deal right now.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the media streaming is doing good for them. So, like, apparently WWE is still doing fine. You know, like, I didn't...
Absolutely.
I thought they were in kind of dire straits, to be honest.
They have no competition. See, like, what happens with WWE is they gain fans and they lose fans. So when you're not watching, they just gain 5 newer fans that are younger. So it's like people like take like Pat, you know, like, and then there's like different eras. So like I love the, you know, being a little kid, the old Hogan Macho Man shit, and I love the Austin and The Rock was great too. It's funny, I sometimes get really stoned and I watch old Saturday Night Main Events from like 1989. That's when once a month or once every 3 months, instead of Saturday Night Live, they'd have like a real good card, a WWF. This is like 85 to about 92. And I was watching 89. Macho Man fucking took Elizabeth.
Macho
and
Man.
Threw her across the room. He threw a woman across the room.
Today, that would not fly.
No. And then DiBiase is the Million Dollar Man. He has this.
Ted.
Guy Virgil, who's like a black slave.
Yeah. You said that last time, whenever we were talking about
him.
I'm repeating myself.
But he's like, clean my belt, Virgil. And I'm like, oh my God.
That would not fly today.
Yeah.
Maybe it's better that we've advanced as a society sometimes.
They had a big fat black guy named Uganda, the headhunter, who's like to be this African guy. And they say from the deepest, darkest continent of Africa.
Like a Zulu kind of warrior, you know?
And then they had these white guys that were, like, taming him.
God. Yeah. All right. Well, this is not a wrestling podcast. This is a major sports podcast. And we usually like to kick things off on this podcast pretty lightheartedly, inquisitive, asking the hard-hitting questions. So, Maddie Goldberg, I was scrolling Reddit at work today because on Mondays and Wednesdays, I work doubles. That way, I don't have to go in the other 2 days of the week. You know, I can kind of go in twice a week and get all my hours in. I scroll Reddit a lot, and I saw a question on Reddit today that really made me think. What is a conspiracy theory that you think is actually, like, true? That's not a conspiracy. You actually think it's known fact?
Oh. I can give you this easily.
Easily. Right, what's your top one? I'm talking major.
It's creepy as hell because I do a lot of research on it.
All right.
It's the smiley face killer theory, which is 100% true. It's 100% scary. Look it up. It's fucking creepy as fucking hell. And it's scary as fuck. The TV network Oxygen just did a whole 6-part series on it of these cases in America. Are you familiar with the smiley face killer?
I've never even heard of the smiley face killer.
This is going to make you scared as fuck. But the good news is you're not a very handsome man.
Yeah,
so
you
don't have to worry about it. You're
safe. Good. Thank God.
Holly.
Oh, he's getting abducted tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. So this is what happens. You can look this up. Now, in colder areas, too, there's a few cases now in Georgia, which is kind of surprising.
Fuck.
But these are happening in Massachusetts. It happens in Pittsburgh. There was a bunch of cases. A lot in La Crosse, Wisconsin. A lot in Minnesota. As a matter of fact, the coach of the Dolphins, what's his name? Joe Philbin. His son supposedly died by the smiley face killer.
What?
So what happens is
good. Hey, good twist, by the way, to bring it back into sports. I like that.
Well, I'm just saying it happened to his son, and this is what it is. So kids from about 18 to 24, college kids who are white, really good looking, strong, athletic.
Ooh, I'm good safe. Looking. Thank God. So, you know, thank you're very God. Safe. Yes.
Yeah. So they go to bars, and somehow Fuck. Somebody slips something in their drink or something like that, because that seems to be the case. And they kind of disappear. And all these kids end up in a river or a body of water somewhere. And where they're found, there's usually a smiley face spray painted. And there's about 100 to 200 cases in America and now in England and other places where this has happened. And
do you think it's one guy, or do you think it's like one group of people who operate under the smiley face narrative?
It is a underground internet thing where you're taught how to, you know, like kill somebody without any evidence and then put in water. So a lot of the evidence is eroded away from the water that it looks like a drowning. And these cops are just like, yeah, it's just some drunk kid who fell in the water.
He fell in the pond and drowned.
Yeah. And like with all the cases that they've done, the bodies, like they've searched that area and then the bodies found later. So, like, if how can the body be found if they searched that area, like, 10 times already? Yeah. So, they've done so many experiments where these bodies have been eroded. A lot of times the bodies are face up as opposed to face down. And 90% of the cases, there's a smiley face spray painted where they found them. And it's just a very, very trait of, like, good-looking, tall, white college, your typical white college kid. Yeah. A lot of times they're getting thrown out of bars. They say, like, they were out of control, or, like, one kid went to smoke a cigarette in Boston. They wouldn't let him in the bar. And then they're, like, found, like, the kids in Boston, these kids are all found in the same spot at the Charles River. So it's like, how the hell can they all be found, like, go to the same spot and drown? And then, like, to get to these places, you have to, like, do all types of crazy, like climb fences and all types of stuff to fall.
Yeah, so it's not like someone stumbled out there. Like you had to make a conscious effort to be out there.
Exactly. So, and a lot of these kids are all really good students and stuff like that. And they found a lot of GHB in their blood when they've done the right type of autopsy. So they're trying to get
GHB?
All
these kids. What is GHB?
GHB is a date rape drug. Oh, it's what Bill Cosby used.
You should have said roofies then.
Look, I'm not making this up. Like, you, after this, go on the
I am scared now. I go to bars. I mean, I'm not, like, hella good looking, but, I mean, I'm an average looking guy.
You could be a case. You could be. But I think it might look at you that you're a little old. Like, how old are you now?
22.
Just be careful. Because you're not a bad looking kid, and you're the right size.
I was about to say, I'm a little bit maybe too big to be, like, lugging around. But if I was, like, drunk and you had some help, like, oh, yeah. You could get me somewhere.
So what I believe is that there's this underground world, and either it's, like, somewhere to sort of, like, satanic initiation or some sort of, like, weird sex.
It's like a dark torture. Web thing.
It's a very dark web thing. And, like, they really have no suspects. There's a lot of people that are really, really – it's really sad because a lot of these families
– have no closure. Into well, how their son died, you know?
And they're being told that, like, yeah, my son drowned. And they're like, well, my son was a honor student. My son barely drank. In a lot of cases, some of their kids don't even drink. And then they, like, see them, like, completely, like, walking really, like, at, like, you know, that there's something, like, seriously wrong as opposed to alcohol.
Yeah.
So a lot of times they're getting their drink spiked. I've done a lot of research. I've had a lot of free time. So I'm like, maybe there's something to do with the bouncers. There was a case in Minneapolis where the scent of the kid, one of the kids was like where the last thing he was seen was near the bouncer's car in a garage was the last time his scent was found.
So the guy's like maybe paying the bouncer to kind of get the most drunk victims and kind of shuffle them outside for easy picking.
Exactly. And it's like, well, why would a bouncer talk? Because these guys are so fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to die. But there's something weird going on. If you look at it, it makes zero sense. These kids are not drowning, like, by getting so drunk. They're, like, not falling in, like, bodies of water. I mean, I'm sure you've gotten plastered in a bar and never – I don't know where the closest body of water you live
to. I've been plastered in a Florida beach house and never fell into the beach or the pool.
Exactly. So this is, like, so absurd. And then, like, the police, they really don't know what to do. So they're just like, we're just going to call this a drowning, like a drunk drowning, like just some dumb white kid.
Better to give some kind of label on it than to come out and say, hey, you couldn't find the killer.
But if you watch the news and if you like YouTube, a lot of stories on it, if you read the parents, none of them think their kids are drowned. They all think they were murdered. They all think it was foul play. And there's these cops from New York City, because the first case started in New York, who've like dedicated themselves to open almost every case and get these cases to be opened as murder. And for a lot of them, they have. So I dated a girl here in L.A. whose brother died that way in Pittsburgh. And it was just awful. And
so let me get this right. Hearing you say that Joe Philbin's son allegedly died by this way, and you know a girl whose brother died this way.
Exactly.
They're in two separate locations but kind of similar areas of the map.
Her brother died in Pittsburgh
and then Buddy died in New York, right?
His son died in Wisconsin.
So
he was the OC of the Packers when it happened.
Explain to me the nature of how these are connected. You said that it's one organization carrying them out, you think?
I believe that there's like different cells in different areas, or like they travel to different places.
But they are directly correlated, like they're acting in accordance with each other.
The reason why the connection is because it's the same story. It's like a guy's at a bar, he goes missing, he's a good student,
same,
he's a good-looking
kid. Same demographic, same execution, exactly. same style, same smiley face.
You know it.
It's like they're sitting here. It's premeditated pretty much up until you're finding which one of the victims fits your demographic.
Exactly. So I believe it's not one person. I believe there's cells all over the place.
It has to be. One person couldn't keep up that quality level of work across the country and in England.
And also, it's cold weather places. So there have been a few cases in Georgia, if you'll see.
Really? I did not know that.
But, you know, Georgia probably gets cold in the wintertime. But for the most part, the biggest places are Wisconsin, Minneapolis, some in Michigan, some in New York, a lot in Boston, and now some in Pittsburgh.
Do you think that's because of – this is pretty far-fetched, but this is the first thing that I connect whenever I think of cold weather and murder.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because, this one person came isolated outside to smoke a cigarette, make a phone call, get a breath of fresh air, whatever. We pick them off, and then we don't think anyone else is going to come outside because it's too cold so we can get away with this murder in public?
That's a possibility.
Everyone's huddled up inside, so...
And also, like, let's say if it happened in Los Angeles or Miami, like, who would drown in warm water? Like, it's very hard. You would think, like, it's much easier that, like, it's below freezing and some kid fell in the water and then he drowned because he froze to death.
That is a mind association trick where you would – let's say that you said kid drowns. Yeah. I automatically go to a winter pond or he gets stuck under
and
ice.
Fall through.
It falls through the ice. That's what my brain automatically goes to instead of a warm fishing hole in Georgia or a beach in L.A.
Exactly. So they haven't really had cases out in L.A. I don't think any in Florida are very warm weather places. I don't even think in Texas. But certainly very cold areas. So Minnesota, Michigan, there was one of the six-part story I watched. One was on Chicago on New Year's Eve, Y2K, where a kid would have had
to, been going on for years and years and
this
years.
This started in 97.
Wow.
It's going on for 22 years. And they still, it's big in England now too. So that makes you believe that somewhere on the dark web, there is like a whole team of, yeah. And it's like, this is how you do it. This is how you dispose the body. This is how you have no evidence. And I feel like it's some sort of weird initiation of some maybe bizarro satanic cult. But like you, I'm sure you'll be curious to look it up after this. You'll probably text me and you'll be like, holy fuck, this is fucked up. And then you'll tell Tanner Holly, Tanner,
watch
you
out,
are a
dude.
Prime
suspect. Well, he's safe. He's in Florida. If he goes back home to New Jersey, he's fucked, though. I'm not going to lie to you.
He's fucked. There's some in Philly, outside of Philly.
Well, now we know that Jay Lunsford is safe because he's about ugly as fuck.
Yeah, Jay Lunsford, you're safe.
You're
safe
because
Carolina,
you are fucking, you are a charity case, dude.
Well, I didn't say that.
I did.
I love Jay Lunsford, though. Love him to death. I'm trying to think. You know, Coon might be a suspect. I mean, not a suspect, but
Coon,
he might be prime meat.
Oh, well, Coon might be the fucking serial murderer. I don't know what you're talking about. He might be the guy carrying out these attacks.
The weirdest thing about Coon is, like, I forget what game it was that we got totally wrong. And he's like, me and my team put in, like, 500 hours of research and data for this score. And what was the game? What was that?
I don't know.
It was the college football final.
Yeah. I remember that.
We're like, holy fuck, Clemson. He's like, me and my guys put in like 600 hours of research and data, and it came out Alabama like will win by 4. And I'm like, whoa, holy shit, this guy's intense. So that's my biggest conspiracy theory, and I hope and like within a year or two, it's not a conspiracy theory anymore that we have suspects and this whole thing gets.
This is a news entity at this point.
It's a horrible thing because these families and you on the show you see these parents and. They've gotten no justice, and it's just been like, yeah, it was a drowning. Like, your son was stupid, and he fell in the water, and he drowned. And it sucks because it's murder. These are murders. And there's, like, an underground group doing this. And there's cells of them. And I believe, like, there's, like, you know, you can go on this thing and learn how to do it, or it's, like, initiation, and then the smiley face is, like, the one thing that you see on all these cases, that there's a smiley face where the body was put in the water. So it's pretty creepy.
Yeah, it is. I'm not really a guy who believes in, like, say, the Illuminati. I'm sure some sort of secret society between rich and powerful males does exist in the society. I just call them the powers that be. I don't really give them a name. I like to think of them as the 13 people that sit at the round table with the globe in front of them and control what happens in the world. You know, the man, whatever you want to call them. But one of the really, really, I would say controversial conspiracy theories that I believe in is And it's really controversial because guys like Alex Jones chime in on stuff like this.
Oh, yeah.
But I really do believe that most of the school shootings nowadays are like staged, like false flag attacks. Like, that's one of the conspiracy, like Parkland, what was Sandy Hook? I think that one was really fake. Like I remember seeing some like...
I gotta disagree with you, my friend.
Well, and...
I'm surprised you're going here.
Yeah, well, I'm a fucking whack job, dude, I'm telling you. I remember seeing this really, really, really oddly specific video. It wasn't on YouTube. It was on Reddit, or it was on Imgur, or one of those other little video hosting, Vimeo, one of those other little video hosting sites. And it was one of those things where he shared his computer screen with you, and he was clicking through all the things. And he pulled up, like, some... Like, before the whole video got taken down, before, like, the FEMA website got, like, reupholstered, he, like, showed where, like, FEMA had, like, a drill to carry out in, like, the next town over from Sandy Hook. Like, that day, that same time. There were, like, a few too many coincidences that happened to, like...
But where are the kids, then? So you have to have some answers of like,
no, and that's why it's one of those loosely tied together things, because I have very little answers they give. It was sort of vague explanations for what happened to the kids. Some people say they're all kid actors. some people say that it's just a random kid, and the fact that the news cycle has already ran, it's 12 months ago, it's been forgotten about.
I mean, people can laugh at my smiley face killer, but
No, I think that is serious. I think you're
all you, right. You got to do is visit, like, Connecticut. So my ex was a kindergarten teacher, like, 20 minutes from Sandy Hook. And, I mean, she would tell you that it was real. And all you got to do is visit one of the families and be like, where's your kid? And, well,
I'm not totally convinced that some of those parents aren't paid actors or
well, what are they doing with their kids then?
And I know it's super disrespectful to assume that. If it is real, I'm wrong as hell. And, you know, like, I'll take the shit sandwich. But
my question is, what is there to gain from doing that?
To push the agenda of gun control.
But it's never going to happen anyway.
And who knows? That's the thing. To create this divide into America, pick a team. I get it. I'm very skeptical organic nature of what's going on today.
I consider myself an amateur sleuth. I watch way too many shows about, you know, crime and stuff like that. So when I heard the Jussie Smollett case, I took like 2 seconds to get the what the case was. And nice. I was mugged myself about 11 years ago, 12 years ago. So I know what it's like to be like robbed on the street and beat up. And I know like what they do. And I also know growing up in the East Coast, like what it's like when it's super cold. So like, as soon as I heard that 10 seconds, I go, this is not true one bit. It's the most ridiculous story I ever heard. So, and again, that was done to divide the country and get like somebody's agenda out, you know, to really make it like, look at what's going on in Donald Trump's America and whatnot. And I get what you're saying, like to push the agenda that's anti-gun control. And
I'm
get,
not
like,
so for guns, but I think that it was a necessary narrative to kind of start and kind of start the discussion on, you know?
I just like when you watch those videos, like when you watch the one in Florida, like those kids aren't – they're crying. You know, they're not good enough actors to sit there and cry like that. They're not even trained. Like Jussie Smollett, when he was on Good Morning America – you know, for 10 seconds, I believe them because he's a good actor.
He's a paid actor. He's on network TV.
When Ellen Page was on Stephen Colbert and she's like really emotional, she's a good actor. But these kids in Florida, they're not actors. They just watch their students die. And I get what you're saying to push a narrative. And I also believe that like any YouTube video can like persuade you.
The YouTube video could have been absolutely completely made up, could have included photoshopped web results, could have been a complete and total fabrication.
I mean, I went down the Pizzagate wormhole for a few minutes.
I will maintain that's true to this day.
And that can shock you too.
I will maintain that's true. That is so true to this day. That Hollywood's fucking weird.
But that's not even Hollywood. That's politicians.
Yeah, but that's also like the Hollywood, like kind of like traffics these kids throughout, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's shit we don't know about, and it's sad, it's bizarre, it's weird. We don't know what people are doing behind this, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, a lot of these videos, like, they can persuade you because they're done so well, and they can make you believe in anything. Mm-hmm. And I just can't buy that these, like, terrible shootings are fake. There's no way. And I think you probably saw a really good video on it, but at the same time, like if you said that to somebody who lost their kids,
that's why I'm using this avenue to discuss it. That would kill me inside to walk up to someone who
lost their kid and like you're actually acting like my kid is an actor or I'm fake. Mm-hmm. My kindergartner. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some sick motherfuckers out there too with guns and shit. And
yeah, 100%.
I'm not all for. I believe to buy a gun, it's got to be tougher. But I still believe, like, you know, if you want to have a gun, you can have a gun. But I just believe you have to have like a year waiting, and you have to have a psychological evaluation and all types of shit like that. But you're a Southern guy. Honestly,
Matty, I'm kind of, I would say the same way. I would just phrase it differently.
Yeah.
I've always been very, you know, libertarian about everything. If you want to smoke meth in your house legally, go ahead, smoke it. You know, just don't bring it out in the street. You know, like, you should be able to do whatever you want to do. Free country, you do you.
Yeah.
I believe there should be absolutely almost zero.
As long as you don't harm other people.
As long as you don't harm other people, do what you want. But me personally, I don't like guns.
Yeah, me neither.
It's a lot of responsibility for me as someone who likes to get absolutely blackout drunk from time to time. I don't want to keep a gun on my hip and accidentally fire it off in public one day. You know, like I would be
or
the
you
kind
get
of,
paranoid.
Or
you
I get paranoid.
Weed, get paranoid.
Smoke a lot of weed one night. I hear a weird knock at the door and blow two rounds through it. It's my fucking landlord or something, you know? Like,
or Burton Brown.
Or Burton Brown. I just killed him in the fucking live flesh. And plus, I'm pretty confident in my physical abilities, you know, like I haven't taken fucking jujitsu classes or anything, but you know, like your average mugger's a crackhead in Atlanta, you know, blah, 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 whatever you want to say. I feel like I can hold myself or I just give away my wallet. It's not worth me taking a life or me getting my life taken to try to keep my money. So I'm not a huge fan of guns, but I do think that anyone who is not a mentally insane individual or even some felons who've done nonviolent crimes should be able to have guns. You know, like almost anyone should be able to have a means to protect themselves. I make a conscious effort to choose not to have one out of my own vindiction.
Well, there you go. But
before we get too crazy on this tangent, this is not a politics or a conspiracy podcast.
Yeah,
let's bring it back to sports. My favorite sports conspiracy theory is that if it's not that the NBA is rigged because of the Tim Donahue thing, it is the Michael Jordan left basketball because it was a gambling suspension.
Yeah.
And simply because the biggest smoking gun to me, or two biggest smoking guns to me, is two, he came back to basketball, and one is that he played for the Bulls and the White Sox, and the Bulls owner owned the White Sox at the time, you know? So it's it was kind of just like an allocation of labor and money. You know, like it was never a change of profession or anything. It was just a change of sport.
Well, I mean, his father died. A lot of people believe his father was murdered because of gambling. I disagree.
Do.
I just think his dad was at the wrong place at the wrong time. I am kind of – that's a 50-50 one to me. That's the one I would say the biggest sports conspiracy to me. Is him getting suspended.
What's one that you believe?
That's the only one I can really think of right now. I'm trying to think of other ones. If you can mention to me that.
Well, don't get me started on the LA Clippers of 2010 through 2014, because I've got a million conspiracy theories about that one.
Well, I mean, there's a little weird one of the whole, you know, how they got Chris Paul and the Lakers didn't.
Well, that too, but I just think that the LA Clippers were too good of a team. Not
I mean, growing up,
from that time.
My dad was a big Red Sox fan. I don't know if this is a conspiracy theory, but I was a firm believer in the curse of the Bambino. Like, I actually believed, like, Babe Ruth put a curse on the Red Sox because it just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if you lived through 86, it made no sense. It was like, how do they lose every World Series in 7 games? How do the Yankees have, like, 25 World Series? The Red Sox have none.
Yeah.
And it's been 100 years. Like, this doesn't make any fucking sense. And I was firm believer that, like, yes, Babe Ruth put a curse on the Red Sox. And now when you think about it, it's so foolish and stupid.
Well, now you guys have gotten your comeuppance. Boston is literally eating away titles at this point.
Exactly. But there was a time I was like, sure. I mean, I can't think of that many. There was another one too that the lottery was rigged. That the Knicks would get Pat Ewing.
What was it? That was before the LeBron one. The LeBron draft lottery conspiracy was called what? The sticky envelope? Isn't that what Stern had? The sticky envelope.
Sure. And the Pat Ewing was like 84 or 85.
Same situation or no? I've
well, just that he was either going to go to the two worst teams, or the Pacers and the Knicks, and the Knicks were dying. For at the time, like, a center was more important than a guard. So, like, the year Jordan was drafted, he was drafted third. And, you know, tell me who the first two picks were before him. You should know this if you're a sports fan.
I should.
One guy you can't blame the other team because he won two rings.
Yeah.
And he had a Hall of Fame career. So the first pick was Hakeem Olajuwon, who had an incredible career.
The dream.
The second pick, one of the worst you know, picks of all time. Sam Bowie.
Yeah, I've never heard of him.
Sam Bowie playing Kentucky. He was the second pick overall, drafted to the Trailblazers, didn't really do much, was hurt a lot, then went to the Nets, had a very, very below average, mediocre career. Jordan goes third. But there was always talk that the Knicks, you know, that was the New York team, the flagship team of the league. You know, Ewing was the best college player in the 80s, him and Leitner, I would say.
Yeah.
And they just thought he was going to be just this dominant force in the NBA, which he had a great career. But they always said that the lottery was rigged for the Knicks because it was great to get him in that giant market. So that was another conspiracy. You don't hear many about football or baseball. I mean, I don't think anybody really talks about the Tuck rule that much.
Well, the only thing in baseball that I think is any sort of relevant in terms of conspiracy theories, two come to mind, and these aren't even two specific conspiracy theories, but these are just two ideas of ones that have happened in the past. The steroid era comes to mind a lot. Who would randomly get tested, who wouldn't, who would get exemptions, who wouldn't, who would get harsher fines and penalties, who wouldn't. And then, like in the 1911s, 1903, like all the baseball games that were controlled by the mobsters, and the mobsters would get guys to throw World Series, you know, shit like that. But nothing extremely major and prevalent really comes to mind in those two sports.
Agree.
So let's get to some sports, some real sports. What do you say?
Let's do it.
I like that question, though. Me and you went on a pretty good little
spiel. Yeah, we really went on that. Talking, I'm watching the Ric Flair.
I am too.
And he has just got pinned by the Hulkster.
Uh-huh.
Disgusting.
And the Hulk looked bad in the 80s.
Oh,
he didn't. Look at that bald-ass head.
Look at that stupid mustache.
God, I would have hit him.
All right, let's get into sports.
So let's get into some MLB stuff first. Training camp is underway. There might be some trouble brewing for Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw. He said last Thursday, I think it was like right after we did the podcast or right before, to where we didn't really get to it, that he's had I don't know if it's quote-unquote major discomfort or if it's just major discomfort. He hasn't been feeling good when he's been throwing recently. So we threw a simulated game last Friday, and we're now getting news that he quote-unquote didn't feel great after playing catch to rebound yesterday.
Well, my feeling about Kershaw is this. He's getting up in the age. He is he went to high school with my buddy Stein. I don't even know how old Stein is. Probably 32, 33.
And Stafford,
now.
Didn't you say?
Yep. Yes, he was the center.
Yep.
So it's like the Dodgers will make the playoffs. He doesn't really need to pitch that much in the regular season. It's like get him ready for the playoffs. Like, that's all they need him for. Just get him ready for the playoffs. Don't pitch him as much. Ease him in slowly. They got a good staff. I mean, they got a new fucking ace. I love Walker Buehler. Is that his name?
Yep, Buehler.
Yeah, he's an ace, man. And they got a good enough staff to, like, get them to win games. And I heard they might get Bryce Harper, so that will help. So, really, he only needs to be ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, so the Dodgers are closing in. I say closing in very loosely. The only reason I say closing in is because Bryce Harper may have waited too long in this free agency period to get big money.
I'm thinking
that he might sign a short-term deal with LA.
Yeah.
Just to be on TV every night, just to be the focal point of attention for a year or two, and then go sign a big year deal with somebody else. He met with LA this morning or yesterday morning, either one, and he was in town after meeting with the Phillies in Las Vegas, because you know Bryce Harper is from Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, everybody thought for sure he was going to sign with the Phillies. I just think his agents are just such a pain in the ass. It's like, God, I can't take this guy.
Who,
like,
is he, Scott Boras? Is he represented by Scott Boras?
It's just
Boras?
Like enough, like, where do you want to go? Do you want to play baseball? Do you want to get all the money you can get, or do you want to win a World Series? And I don't know what his or Machado's ambitions are. I think both of them are like, we want the deals of the century.
I would say that you're probably right. I would say that Harper may be a pubic hair more serious about his baseball career.
Well, why? I mean, he hasn't signed.
And that is the one thing that's so confusing is that I've never heard anyone, maybe except for fucking Jonathan Papelbon, say that Bryce Harper was a bad teammate in Washington. He's a bit selfish and a bit kid-like at times, but directly he's never been a bad teammate to anyone else, maybe except for Jonathan
Papelbon. Well, who's going
to
trash him?
I don't know.
I'm sure when he goes...
A few of the Nats guys may have a reason to trash him. I mean, he won't be back in Washington this year.
I guarantee you if he goes to the Dodgers, the first time the Nats play him, you will hear stuff. You will hear like, yeah, he was a pain in the ass. He was a diva.
Yeah, he used to do Valium in the locker room, you know.
Yeah. I guarantee it. He's a pain in the butt. I mean, the Nats never won a playoff series with him. Not all his fault, but he is the man. So they haven't won with him. Last year, just a terrible year. Mm-hmm. He's always had weird comments. You know, the whole thing with Papelbon, although Papelbon is not the easiest guy to get along with.
Papelbon deserved that. I hate Bryce Harper, honestly. Like, I'm not his biggest fan at all. I wouldn't say hate, I guess, but he's a little smarmy brat, and I'm younger than him, so saying that gives me a huge impression. But Papelbon was wrong.
I mean, with Harper, it's like, fucking sign. Like, figure your shit out.
I bet he'll sign by this Friday, dude. I bet he'll sign by the time we release the next podcast.
Well, I hope so, because he's a great talent, and he's a great player to watch, but it's like, fucking sign already.
Yeah, I
stop holding these teams hostage. Forget about this mega deal that you think you're so deserving of.
I know.
And just fucking play.
I know.
Like, get in camp and play and get your cuts in and get your work in.
It's not even about the work. It's just about being there for the team, dude. Like,
for the
coaches,
team, of
coaches
course.
Know that you sit there and take batting practice during the summer and at your Las Vegas mansion. You know, they know that you're out there really practicing with the college kids and doing all that. But be there for the fucking team, dude. Put on the same jersey that everyone else has.
Exactly.
And get out there and at least fucking act like you're part of something bigger than yourself.
Look, if you want to go, like, say you're a player on the Phillies and you're like, oh my God, we might get Bryce Harper. And you're like, ugh, he's going to deal with negotiations. It's not good enough. Nothing's good enough for him to come here. And now he's in L.A. checking out Hollywood and shit like that. It's like, fuck him. Like, of course you're going to pay him good money. If he wants to be part of something great, like a team that's on the up and coming, which the Phillies are, and which they would be going neck and neck with the Braves if he did sign there.
They would completely surpass the Braves if he signed there.
I think
Braves aren't that fucking good.
Well, the Braves are good. The Braves,
yeah, the Braves
know,
are very
step,
good.
And then they'll
Nats
take
would,
another step.
The Nats would be absolute, or the Phillies would be absolutely crazy with that lineup, though.
Sure, they would be.
With all the
and
money they spent this offseason? Yeah, hell yeah.
So, but it's like fucking science. So it's like, know, okay, you want this, you want this, you want this. And it's like, it's exhausting. And then it's like, oh, wait, he's in LA now? Get the fuck out of here.
It's exhausting for us. And all we do is spend 10 minutes an episode talking about it twice a week. I can only imagine how exhausting it is for
his. I don't want to talk about it anymore because it annoys me. It's like even Manny Machado, he waited out to get his fucking ridiculous deal.
But at least he signed at least 3 days into camp, you know?
Yeah.
He's at least in for most of the camp.
Just like I said a team will be dumb enough to overpay these guys. And the Padres were dumb enough to overpay Machado.
And
we'll see about Harper.
And you know how I feel about Machado. You know that I'm not Machado's biggest fan, but I completely agree with what you just said. I at least respect him for getting it done. At least someone he held out as long as he wanted to. He made a statement. He was a diva, but not too big of a diva. You know, like he got his money and he got paid. And you know the Padres won't be so bad, but it's very unlikely that they'll win anything. 70. No,
you think they win 75?
Not this year. Maybe next. They're a work in progress with the farm system. But I do respect for Machado. I respect Machado for going to San Diego, somewhere that isn't established yet, and trying to be the guy.
Yeah.
And I respect him for getting it done to be in camp for most of training camp and getting your money. He satisfied a lot of check boxes in that signing.
Sure did.
I don't know if you saw this or not. This is big news to me that didn't really come off as big on how little coverage it got. The Nevada Gambling Control Board, which is the overseeing body that controls all the casinos in terms of sports gambling in Nevada, actually declined a request from the MLB, the Major League Baseball main office, to prohibit betting on spring training games. So MLB sent them a letter saying, hey, will you please stop letting people bet on these spring training games? And they said, psh, hell no, dude.
I would – look, you, if you're betting on spring training games, you're a moron. You really are.
Well,
because they're ridiculous. You're just flipping a coin.
And that's exactly why I wouldn't say that you're a moron, because it's a 50-50 shot no matter what. I think you're just a degenerate. I think you're more of a degenerate than I am. The only way that I'll bet on a spring training game is next week when I'm in, or this weekend when I'm in Orlando. I may bet on the ones that I'm at specifically, and that may be a $10 Braves money line or half a run bet. But the people that sit there in the casinos and on their phone that bet on a slate of spring training games when they're split squad, you're an absolute degenerate. You're an absolute you crave gambling.
I mean, another thing too is like you can take like the Nats. You can bet on Max Scherzer. So you're like, Max Scherzer's pitching for the Nats. I'm gonna bet on the Nats or the under.
I did that this year against the Braves, dude. Yeah. There were 8 runs scored by the time the 4th inning came around.
Exactly. But
it was regular season. That was the bad thing.
Here's the thing: if Max Scherzer pitches in spring training, he pitches 2 innings. He might be working on 1 pitch, or they're like, okay, no curveballs.
He's focusing on the outside corner just because that's what he had trouble with in the bullpen before.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he's working on 1 thing, and he doesn't even care if he's giving up hits. He's like, I'm just going to work on my inside fastball, or I'm going to try a new pitch.
Yep.
He tries a forkball. It gets wasted. So then maybe he pitches 2 good innings. Then the next pitcher is some guy who's double-A guy that you didn't expect coming in.
Yep.
Gives up 8 runs.
Yep.
It is foolish.
It is.
You're flipping a coin. So
I will bet on the games that I'm at, maybe, and that's a fucking pretty soft maybe, is because seeing that and talking about this kind of turns me off to it, but because I'll get drunk at the games and I'll want to have some sort of juice, I will probably take – I won't take the over-under because that's just a shot in the fucking dark. There's no way you can pinpoint that. I'll bet on a half a run for the Braves, no matter who they're playing, whenever I go down there, just to be a Braves fan.
The thing about everything, too, is that sorry, just texting somebody, called me. I forgot my point. Oh, yeah, so, like, the AAF, the reason why this football league might survive is because it's so much easier to gamble now. Like, you can watch these football games and gamble, which is like, well, ordinarily I wouldn't watch the Salt Lake whatever versus the Arizona Hotshots, but because I got $50 on it, it makes the game more entertaining.
I'm going to tune in.
So MLB knows they need gambling. They're getting killed by football. They're not America's pastime anymore. They need to align with gambling. So it's a bad move, and it's just like, hey, if you bet on spring training, you're an absolute fucking moron. Like we're gonna
don't,
say like
don't
hey.
Say more don't say moron because there are people that have the money that can burn it that gamble for entertainment and to kill time. So I wouldn't say moron. I would say
flip a coin.
Degenerate.
Just flip a coin. There's no way to handicap preseason baseball.
And you're right, but there are guys that bet on just to watch the fucking world burn, and that's just the point in time
exactly.
And entertainment where we're at.
Yeah. But I wouldn't MLB. I wouldn't like even tell people not to do it. I would just say, look, there's a way that you can handicap our games. You can get feels. You can go by pitchers and take unders. You can get like a good hunch about a team when they're on a hot streak and ride them. But if you're betting on preseason, you're burning money. There's nothing we can say. You might get lucky, but you would only be getting lucky.
And that's the point. You might get lucky because you bet on the Braves, but by the 4th inning, they've already flip the roster or flip the batting order inside out, and everybody who would have been starting is now replaced by a bench player. Or 30 minutes before first pitch, they threw a inter-squad lineup out there, and you just don't know who's playing. You know, like it's just one of those things to where I don't think it's moronic, but I think it's just you are an absolute crazy person just because you are
agree
willing, because you're not trying to handicap it at that point. It's a guessing game.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on to a story about my fucking man, our fucking man, I hope I can say, Mike Leach. He will be teaching a seminar titled Insurgent Warfare and Football Strategies at Washington State.
Where he See, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's not like
it is.
Fucking...
It is a seminar that will it will not count for academic credit, but it's like an extracurricular seminar thing. It'll be five classes long.
I'd love to take that class.
Mm-hmm. It's called Insurgent Warfare and Football Strategies.
Well, now, who is the coach of Ohio State? I forget. Why is the name?
It was Urban Meyer, but now
yeah. So new, Urban Meyer's got his dumb class done. Called he's like done. Sports Ethics. So he's got a class called Sports Ethics. You're like, what a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, it's like, how's my man Leach, teaching sports ethics?
He's keeping it real. Mike Leach is keeping it real. Like, mm-hmm. football is war.
And that is my and fucking keeping man. It real. That's why he is, dude.
And I think they had to say it wasn't a graded class because they were probably like, oh, my God, every football player is going to take the class, and he's going to give them all A's so their GPA is, like, good enough to play football.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I would if I was the faculty in an ideal world, of course, I would say, you know what, this class is for credit, but no current football players can take it. Make it
well, who would take it?
Regular students, you know, just as an elective, you know, like get him out in campus, give some poor senior who's been grinding for fucking 4.5 years, give him a free A.
Little basket know. Weaving 101.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And let, you know, Mike Leach convince the fucking emo kid who sits in the top corner of the classroom, doesn't talk. Let convince him to tell a good joke one day in class and convince the emo kid to buy a ticket to the football game and come out to watch. You know, like it's just outreach. And Mike Leach is the kind of guy that we need to increase exposure to. If every human on this earth had a few minutes with Mike Leach, we would be in a way better place.
Anybody listening, just go find out what he says about marriage. His rant on marriage is hysterical.
Yes. The marriage video is good. I love the candy video. Mike Leach loves the weirdest candies, which me and him do.
He's just a funny guy.
We do both share the love for Swedish fish, you know, the little red candy fish.
I'm more a chocolate guy. But
he said that was his. He said Raisinets. I think he loved Raisinets, which is kind of weird. He loves like weird candy. I'm not gonna lie to you. He's an odd guy, but I fucking love him to death. So we are going to get into the last few minutes of our show because we have almost exhausted our time.
Yeah, we did an hour.
Nah, fuck, dude. The conspiracy theory was a good question. We talked about that forever. There before we get into the scores and everything from week three, the AAF is currently being sued by a man claiming the league was his idea. Robert Benetch,
get the fuck out
of
here.
He's a CFO of Treble Music, said that he had a handshake agreement with Charlie Ebersole, and it was violated. And he says that he should have at least 50% ownership in the league.
Good luck. Have fun having a league that has Zach Mettenberger starting and Mike Singletary as a coach and bad quarterback play. Good, have fun. I mean, I enjoy it because I like football, but it's like I had an idea of like, you know, some sort of something to help you wipe your ass with or something. I don't know what the analogy I'm trying to use.
This guy must be desperate for money. If he's trying to hardball his way into the financials AAF. Of the AAF.
Which could maybe last only a couple years. Who knows?
Well, and you remember the retraction that we had from last episode saying that, oh, they're not really broke. What me and Maddie are trying to get at is that they're not the financial cash cow that you're looking for.
I mean,
for
everything is sued.
Moment.
Like Stranger Things, they were the guys who wrote it were being sued because somebody said it was their idea. Who the fuck knows? Anything that's somewhat successful or anything, somebody goes, I came up with it. But I don't know if you want to even want to take credit for the AAF. You're taking credit for the
for
minor
just
league
a,
football.
A random football league? Guess what?
Who could have come up with the idea
about,
of like,
I was
let's start
say,
a football league
I was about to
the,
say,
day, the week after the Super Bowl because that's where everybody's in like a Super Bowl hangover.
It's low hanging fruit.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's low hanging fruit.
Low hanging dicks.
So in week three, our first game, the Salt Lake Stallions beat the Arizona Hotshots 23-15. Both quarterbacks played in this game for Arizona after John Wolford went down. Josh Woodrum from Salt Lake had a good day. no players of note really went off in this game. I know Kalen Clay had a few wins.
All I know is this. I won money on the – I bet on the Birmingham 16.5 points, and I fucking won because Zach Mettenberger came in with some garbage TDs, and it was glorious.
So that is our next game. The Orlando Apollos beat the Memphis Express 21-17. Hackenberg looked fucking absolutely awful, and I think we're ready to turn the page on Hackenberger.
The Mettenberger.
Mettenberger went 9-for-12, 120, 2 touchdowns, 0 picks. Granted, it's in garbage time. We both
knew
that.
And his first touchdown, he screamed as Brady, "Let's go!"
Which
he channeled Tom Brady.
You appreciate the enthusiasm, but this is the AAF after all. Garrett Gilbert didn't have a great day for the Orlando Apollos, but their defense stepped up, and they were able to win the game 21-17. But for the Memphis Express, the old USFL team, my man Sherman Beatty led the Memphis Express in rushing yards, 8 carries for 59 yards. Matty Goldberg, do you care to tell me where Sherman Beatty went to college at?
I'm going to say Tulane.
He went to Tulane University, Matty Goldberg.
And he was pretty – he was great. I watched the game, but he was a little too fired up. Like, every time he got the ball,
he was trying to do too much. And then every time he'd get tackled on a 4-yard gain, he would get up and flex his arms, you know. Yeah,
and he'd get in the defense guy's face, like, dude, you come at
me.
I know.
It's like, yeah, dude, he tackled you. We know. I agree. Let's see. We got I think Memphis may be with some of the star-studded team, or one of the more star-studded teams, because they got Brad Wing punting, Josh Jasper, ex-NFL guy, kicking the football, 2 NFL quarterbacks. They got a few ex-NFL running backs. I think 1 ex-NFL receiver.
They still suck.
Yeah. Oh, of course. But they got a star-studded team. Birmingham Iron beat my Atlanta Legends 28-12. The Legends are fucking terrible. I don't know why they didn't put Aaron Murray in the game. Luis Perez, who is probably my favorite AAF quarterback so far, didn't look that great, but he moved the ball. Trent Richardson didn't have a lot of yards per carry, but he moved the ball when it needed to be moved. Sims didn't have a bad game per se, but he threw for a lot of yards, threw a bunch of picks, a bunch of incompletions. The running game never got started. The offensive line didn't get going. The Iron defense played really well. Novak and Colton Schmidt on special teams kept Atlanta pinned back. It was just an all-out beating. Atlanta's 0-3.
Well, I guess there'll be no parade.
No, there won't be a parade in Atlanta. Atlanta and Memphis are probably the worst two teams in the league.
Well,
Memphis may be a little bit worse. Yeah, they do. They play
something's
week 5.
Gotta give.
Week 5, not this next week, but next week after that they play.
Something's got to give.
Our last game, I know we're running out on time. Your San Diego Fleet beat the San Antonio Commanders, who looked really good to me. I thought the Commanders would win this game. 31-11. It was not on TV. It got blacked out, even like where I was at least.
Pissed.
Yeah, no really stats, I guess, there's Jaquan Gardner ran for 122 on only 12 carries, which is pretty good. But the receiving game didn't get going. A lot of defensive tackles made. That was a pretty boring game. I checked in on that one on the Reddit streams for a second.
There you
but
go.
I kind of got bored.
I have nothing to say about that game.
Yeah. The AAF, the only thing that I watched this week that they can improve on, there are a few too many fluky plays. You know, there are too many few picked interceptions, you know, kind of tipped balls, which of course they're in the NFL too, but we need to kind of clean up the overall quality of what we're doing.
As long as I have money on these games, it's okay.
All right.
Not the greatest quarterback play, but when you're gambling, it's still money.
You'll take anything. And that's why this is called the Daily Degenerate Podcast. Matty Goldberg, plug yourself.
I know. At Matty Goldberg on Twitter. Instagram at Matty Goldberg 1 on Twitter. I'll be Thursday night in Calabasas, 8 o'clock. The Kardashian Country at the 6. Look up on my Instagram and Facebook. I have the links to it. Come see me in Calabasas if you're out in Cali. Love you. look up the smiley face killer and try to punch yourself in the face next time you go to the bar. Don't pretty yourself up or else you
Dude,
can
I'm
be
telling
next.
You, I'm off to fucking shit in my pants so he stays away from me or something. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode 63 of the Daily Degenerate Podcast. My name is Cohen Hughes, Cohen_Hughes on Instagram. I don't do Twitter. You can search Facebook, Cohen Hughes. Matty Goldberg is an ugly bastard, but I love him. Ladies and gentlemen, I sincerely hope you enjoyed this episode. Have an awesome day. God bless.